My dearly beloved Christ, we can learn several important lessons from the tragic sinking of the Titanic. It was the world's largest ship at the time. The Titanic was built in Belfast, Northern Ireland, where the populace were very anti-Catholic. Many of the people, including the shipbuilders and the employers of the White Star Line, believed that the ship was unsinkable. God himself cannot sink the ship. This quotation is the answer given by a deckhand, an employee of the White Star Line, when asked if the Titanic was really unsinkable during its launch on May 31st, 1911. The statement is blasphemous. When the New York office of the White Star Line was informed that the Titanic was in trouble, White Star Line Vice President P.A.S. Franklin announced, "We place absolute confidence in the Titanic. We believe the boat is unsinkable." By the time Franklin spoke these words, the Titanic was at the bottom of the ocean. It was the beginning of the 20th century, and people had absolute faith in the new science and technology. They believed that science in the 20th century could and would provide answers to solve all problems. The sinking of the unsinkable Titanic shattered much confidence in science and made people more skeptical about such fantastic claims. Titanic sank on its maiden voyage after colliding with an iceberg off the banks of Newfoundland. More than 1,500 people died in the accident. So there's some lessons we can learn, and one is pride. And in this case, it also was the denial with Captain Smith and many other people. If I do this reckless thing, bad things won't happen to me. The History Channel said that Captain Smith and his officers ignored at least 6 warnings of icebergs. They questioned the warnings given and dangerously sped through the ice fields. When a 1.5 million ton iceberg was spotted, iceberg means a mountain of ice. A 1.5 million ton iceberg was spotted. It was too late to avoid it. If he had ordered the ship to slow down, then maybe the Titanic disaster would not have happened. The Titanic crew never practiced deploying lifeboats, so they were slow and clumsy when they had to do so. Some lifeboats were not filled to capacity. In other words, 42 passengers. Also, there were only about 20 lifeboats in the Titanic, held over 2,000 people. Due to a disregard for warnings and imminent danger, lack of training and planning, and other things, panic ensued. So back to pride and presumption. Everybody has pride. Every sin stems from pride. The sin of pride is one of the worst sins because it encompasses all other sins. Pride was the sin of Satan. He refused to serve, he refused to adore God, and was cast out. The world's full of pride. Pride's a deadly sin. Cut it out of your lives as if it were a cancer. Be humble. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Throughout Holy Scripture, we're repeatedly told that God blesses the humble and despises the proud. This fundamental truth is reiterated from Genesis, the first book, to the Apocalypse, the last book. The admonition of the practice of humility rises continually in the pages of the Gospels and the writing of the Apostles. In every virtue, it is humility that God rewards. In every vice, it is pride that he punishes. In our daily lives, we must remember that it's humility that subjects the souls and the virtues to God, and that it's pride that it sends the soul away from God and inflames the vices with their malice. And then just another little story, and then we'll comment on it. Joseph, they just call him Jay. Jay Bruce Ismay was an English businessman and ship owner who was a managing director of the White Star Line. He was aboard the Titanic. Competition for Atlantic passengers was fierce, and the White Star Line wanted to show that they could make a 6-day crossing. To meet the schedule, Titanic could not afford to slow down. During the congressional investigations, after the sinking, passengers testified that during the voyage, they heard Ismay pressuring Captain Smith to increase the speed of the Titanic in order to arrive in New York ahead of schedule, even though they were traveling through a field of icebergs. 20 minutes before the ship went down, Ismay got into one of the last lifeboats to be successfully launched, deserting the ship and the men, women, and children who were still on board. Some newspapers called him the coward of the Titanic, or instead of J. Bruce Ismay, J. Brute Ismay. My dearly beloved in Christ, greed and selfishness cause spiritual blindness. Selfishness is the leading cause of problems in a relationship, whether it's with God, between spouses, children, family members, and friends. When you begin to care more about yourself than the person you love, there's a problem. Relationships, no matter of what kind, aren't about getting your own way. They're about teamwork, and sometimes they involve compromise. Giving up your own way, or what you want for the sake of the other, they're really about caring first for the one you love. And then we'll talk about waste of time. Wasting precious time, Captain Smith didn't order the first lifeboat to be lowered until 1 hour and 5 minutes after the iceberg began to sink the ship. 1 hour and 5 minutes after that. The Titanic's window of escape was closing fast, and many people who could have been saved died. My dearly beloved in Christ, instead of preparing for the future, are you wasting valuable time on your phone or some worthless or dangerous thing? Are you neglecting your responsibilities in life and your prayers? Okay, then we'll talk about the weakest link. About 3 million rivets were used to hold the sections of the Titanic together. Some rivets have been recovered from the wreck and analyzed. The findings show that they were made of substandard iron. When the ship hit the iceberg, the force of impact caused the heads of the rivets to break and sections of the Titanic to come apart. If good quality iron rivets had been used, the sections may have stayed together and the ship may not have sunk. My dearly beloved in Christ, everyone has a predominant sin. In many cases, it's habitual, even a habitual mortal sin. With God's grace and great personal effort, it must be rooted out. Father Oswald Baker has written, "The commandments of God are not really difficult to keep. What makes them seem so is our own inclination to worldliness and sinful pleasure, our failure in self-discipline, and persistent self-indulgence." So we need humility, prayer, controlling our passions, and just staying away from unnecessary occasions of sin. Okay, next lesson. The final iceberg warning sent to the Titanic was from the Californian. At around 11:15 p.m., Californian's radio operator turned off the radio and went to bed. Sometime after midnight, the crew on watch reported seeing rockets being fired into the air from a big liner. Captain Lord was informed, but concluded the ship was having a party. No action was taken by the Californian. If the Californian had turned on the radio, she would have heard the distress messages from the Titanic and would have been able to reach the ship in time to save all the passengers. My dear beloved in Christ, in choosing friends, many people ignore red flags and obvious dangers. They choose bad companions and stoop down to their level, disregarding the consequences. It's like, you're doing dumb, dangerous, and reckless things, so I'll try doing the same dumb, dangerous, and reckless things. So we'll just talk briefly about true friendship. Nothing is more helpful than a true friend. We all need one. True friendship is morally helpful to both parties, whether your friends be girlfriends or boyfriends. These are the indications of true friendship. It does not lead to sin. A true friend does not drag you down. It does not trouble your conscience or lower your ideals. A good friend won't lower them or weaken your faith. A true friend won't mock your religion. True friendship is founded on mutual respect, and it's impossible to have a sincere respect for someone who has the influence of poison on your soul. Bad friends are like poison. True love seeks the good of the beloved, and this good is never found in sin. You can have a blind attachment for a person who leads you away from God, but you cannot have a genuine love for that person. I love you, so let's go to hell together, is language that simply doesn't make sense, whether expressed by word or action. Whereas the contrary, I love you, so I want to take you to heaven with me, is full of meaning. That is a true friend. Second, in friendship, there's a genuine basis of agreement between the parties. It's not artificial and differs from fascination. The basis for a lasting harmony is the ability to work together. Friends agree on big and fundamental things, like the existence of God and the basic tenets of our faith, how to raise children, etc. There's an agreeable compromise on lesser things, your favorite foods or cars or things like that. Differences of taste and opinion should lead to intercommunion and sharing, not the destruction of the friendship. There should be mutual compromise in small things of disagreement. Given to one another on these things, aren't important enough to destroy friendship. If they won't matter 20 years from now, then don't sweat it. But never compromise in matters of conscience. Overlook small faults in your friends, but don't excuse big things. The greater the harmony, the deeper the friendship. If you're fighting all the time, then that person's not a friend. And then lastly, it's characterized by a spirit of self-sacrifice, not selfishness. It's displayed in both words and actions. You share good things with each other, you inspire, you uplift. You express empathy, encouragement, support, especially in suffering. You show acts of love, kindness, and thoughtfulness. And then lastly, the belief that the ship was unsinkable was in part due to the fact that the Titanic had 16 watertight compartments. However, the compartments did not reach as high as they should have done. The White Star Line did not want them to go all the way up because this would have reduced the living space in first class. If Thomas Andrews, the ship's architect, had insisted on making them the correct height, then maybe the Titanic would not have sunk. My dearly beloved in Christ, we cannot cut corners in our spiritual life by shortening our prayers, praying badly, or abandoning prayer altogether. We will reap what we sow. When we pray regularly, then we're armed and ready. We pray from the heart. Prayer protects us from sinning. Prayer drives demons away and brings down God's blessing. Protection, power, love, light, strength, consolation, pardon, help, and grace. We must pray with reasonable attention, knowing that we're raising our hearts and minds to God. We're not just reciting words like a parrot. St. Teresa of Avila said that if a person spends less than 10 minutes in prayer every day, they will not go to heaven. Less than 10 minutes of prayer every day, you won't make it. St. Alphonsus made it real simple. He says, if you pray, you'll save your soul. If you don't pray, you'll go to hell. And then our prayer should reflect our age, whether it's a child, a young adult, or an adult. Okay, when we're really small, okay, you know, just sticking with grace before and after meals, and then now I lay me down to sleep, okay, that's fine. But we need to do better than that as we get older. And I think these daily Catholic prayer guides are in the back. I think these are excellent. They only take just a very, very few minutes in the morning and at nighttime. And then hopefully you say the rosary every day. But if we cooperate with God's grace, and we should have our own personal effort, we practice humility and love of God and obedience to the Ten Commandments. We avoid unnecessary occasions of sin, practice devotion to Mary. And then our prayer life includes our daily rosary, frequent prayer, especially morning and night prayer, prayer in time of temptation. Then you'll save your soul. You can't plead ignorance when you're standing before God. But if you don't save your mortal soul, then blame no one but yourself. So just like to close with a story. It's tragic, just like the Titanic. Pride comes before a fall. This fact is illustrated by the following example. John was one of the best pilots of Niagara helicopters. But he was bold and cocky. Unfortunately, there are old pilots, and they're bold pilots, but there are no old and bold pilots. When he was working in Canada, he attended ground school every year with other pilots, where they tune up their skills and avoid potential dangers. Sadly, John attended the class, but felt that it was a waste of time for him. And he didn't pay attention to them or take them seriously. He was delighted when the ground school was finally concluded. Contrary to his opinion, he needed the refresher course and needed it badly. Sometime later, he flew a helicopter for the United Nations in Bosnia. Sadly, he took unnecessary risks by flying very low and then he clipped some power lines. His helicopter exploded and John was killed. Simple observance of the guidelines covered in the ground school would have prevented this tragic accident. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.